Welcome to Better Together, a Vaishnava family podcast.
A podcast where we explore family life from a bhakti yoga perspective. We are your hosts. I'm Aksh.
And I'm Gopika. Welcome to episode 17, when Valentine's Day doesn't feel romantic.
No, no, no.
Oh, what my a goodness. Title. So, I was just thinking about how this is the 13th Valentine's Day that we will be celebrating, quote unquote. It just got me thinking about how different Valentine's Day feels now than when we first got together, at least for me.
Yeah.
Do you even remember our first Valentine's Day?
Not really.
Okay, I can't even be mad at you because I don't really remember our first Valentine's Day either, vaguely. I mean, it's all blurred, but did we go ice skating?
That sounds familiar. Yeah, I was even trying to look back at our calendar, and the last time maybe there was something was 2020. I'm not sure.
Okay, clearly Valentine's Day is not our holiday as a couple, if you're guessing it already, but yeah, what comes up for you when you think about Valentine's Day?
Expectations.
Hmm.
And I'm not going to say that it's all in a bad way.
Yeah.
But for sure, it's a lot of pressure. It's one thing to have your own anniversary or something, right? It's private. But when the entire world is pressuring everyone else, in a sense, that you need to do something on this day for your significant other.
Yeah.
It can be a lot. And sometimes it doesn't line up with a good timing in life. And you still feel like you have to do something.
Yeah. Or else you're failing or your relationship is failing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I also see is that it gives us an excuse to connect, make time for each other. I mean, even just to have this conversation, there is an opportunity to, I guess, reflect on the relationship because it's sort of like this social checkpoint that happens in February of every year. For me, maybe the biggest challenge with it is actually like a fear of disappointment because it's like very easy to also have mismatched expectations.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, I feel similarly to you. This is a societal holiday that has so much power in shaping hopes and, like you were saying, expectations, and then potentially and often, at least what's happened for us, like resulting disappointment in relationships because of this picture that's painted by society. And I feel like it's epitomized on Valentine's Day, you know, romance and couples and the roses and the chocolate and just... It made me think about our own relationship and how I feel like in the beginning of our relationship, I definitely almost was seeking that more. The other thing that I'm thinking about is our kids and Valentine's Day and how they are going to start understanding this holiday and their expectations. I mean, they're little right now, so they don't really know what romance is all about. But this is the first year that our son understands Valentine's Day. And like we made Valentines for people and we're talking about sharing love with other people and friends, but it just got me thinking, how are we going to navigate this world of societal stereotypes and romance with him? And then it got me thinking even deeper about holidays are an opportunity to learn something about different people.
Yeah.
So I did some research on the origins of Valentine's Day. Care to know?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not so lovey-dovey. Maybe we should not tell our son about this just yet because it's a bit gruesome.
Oh.
Yeah. The earliest recounting of the starts of it was apparently a Roman festival called Lupercalia, where naked women would line up to be hit by men because it supposedly increased their fertility, with like a pagan ritual of sorts. And then years later, on the day that this pagan ritual happened, supposedly there was a martyr saint named Saint Valentine that was murdered by the Emperor of Rome, Claudius II. Because what had happened was, at the time, the emperor had banned marriage because there was a law that existed that if you were married, you couldn't get drafted into the army. So Claudius II didn't want anybody to get married so he could draft all the men into the army. But the Saint Valentine would secretly marry people and these Christian couples to help the men from being drafted. And he was caught and he ended up getting murdered. Over time, the Pope decided that rather than focus on this pagan ritual, maybe we should focus on honoring the saint. So then just kind of named it Saint Valentine's Day, kind of like a solemn day. But then over time, with the emergence of romanticism and authors like Shakespeare, they began to, you know, make it a bit more flowery and a bit more nice. And it just evolved from there into becoming this sweet, lovey-dovey holiday it is today. So back to our conversation on expectations, even just looking at the history of Valentine's Day made me really reflect on how much I am susceptible to being captive of these truths that are portrayed to me by society that are coming from these places that I might not even be aware of. Like definitely when we first got into a relationship, I had a strong investment in Valentine's Day and feeling the romance.
So you mentioned how things also kind of like shifted over years. You're kind of alluding to that. How do you feel about the changing nature of our relationship?
You first.
Truthfully speaking, I feel uneasy. We're in a challenging period where it is harder to do things that we would maybe have done before. But I guess holidays like this just bring up for me, like, are we in a good place? Or how are we doing if we're not doing, like, you know, a specific thing or going out in a specific way? Or it's well documented that marital satisfaction declines after having kids, especially in the first few years. I remember, like, even Michelle Obama saying she, quote-unquote, hated Barack during the first 10 years of their kids' lives.
I've heard that.
So that, I guess, gives me hope that things will get better. But how do you feel?
I mean, seasons change in marriage. And I feel like we are definitely feeling that, especially after children. Part of me feels sad. I do miss freedom, like the freedom to just be able to connect and go out if we wanted to go out. Like, I remember when we were waiting for Kishore to be born, we would just like play board games every night together, or card games, just me and you. We haven't done that since waiting for him to be born. Almost 4 years ago. I miss that. And then, you know, there's another part of me that kind of revels in how much life we've shared together. So sometimes Kishore just likes to look at pictures on my phone, like old pictures. So the other day I was showing him pictures from our honeymoon in Norway, and we were watching some of these clips of you like skipping through the mountains and taking epic photographs. And I was trying to tell him how we went after we got married and all of this stuff. And part of that was, oh man, I miss that. Like, I just miss that freedom and that new, fresh sense of being together and that excitement. But then I also thought how much I don't want to go back to being fresh and new, and how, even though it was exciting to be fresh and new, how little we actually knew each other when we first got married. Like, we really did not understand one another. We thought we did, but we really didn't. We didn't understand each other's triggers, our family of origins, our core selves, the best versions of ourselves, the worst versions of ourselves. How little we endured in life together. And in these almost, you know, 10, 12 years we've been together, how much we've gone through. So when I think about that, it makes me feel more deeply connected, even though in this season of life, I feel disconnected, if that makes sense. It's like a weird paradox.
No, I appreciate you sharing this, and I completely agree. you know, I was a little bit focused on the holiday, and I think the holiday triggers more yeah. of that, like, oh, we're disconnected. But looking over so much time and how we've gotten to know each other, it really is, it is different, but it's different in a deeper way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like also the holiday, it does put some pressure. And like even today, nowadays with Instagram, when you become parents, it's not necessarily bad. I don't think it's bad to have pressure. Pressure can be a good thing too, but sometimes it's extra pressure. You're going through this extremely intense phase of life where you're trying to survive and keep your body together and keep other little people alive. And then it's like, you have to prioritize your marriage and you have to show your kids what an amazing marriage there is. I know for me, that gets to my head a lot. You know, you model your love for your kids. And so like, there's this pressure to be really perfect in a phase of life where there is so much against you in having positive relational interactions on the daily basis, when you are just enduring so much stress on mm-hmm. a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
All the things that allow for a healthy marriage, quality time together, seeking support of a counselor or therapist, being able to invest in your own individual lives and your own careers, being in good health.
Yeah.
None of that is really accessible during this phase of life. And yet you're like still expected to be the best version of yourself for these little children.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure. I don't know. I guess it's good pressure because just because we're in this phase of life, I don't feel like that's like a write-off that like we can just forget about it.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like also just giving the marriage some grace. It is a difficult season.
So speaking of more difficult seasons, what from our bhakti tradition do you feel we can lean on to get through these more difficult seasons of our marriage?
Yeah. Well, you're our resident Shastric advisor in the house. So please start.
I'm not. Well, the first thing that came to me is a Sanskrit term, dharma rakshati rakshita, which translates to dharma protects those who protect dharma. The idea here is that sometimes, like, there might be periods of time where it might feel like we're just doing like our duty. In some ways, that's also okay, because when someone is executing on that sense of duty and is respecting that sense of duty, in this case, like our particular family life, that itself is also going to come back to support us.
So you're saying by putting our relationship on a backseat,
I'm not saying that.
You're fulfilling your duty to your family, and that's going to help us?
I think what I'm trying to say is by doing the best we can in whatever situation we're in, as long as we're focused on supporting this particular, what we say, ashram, that includes the relationship, even though it may not always be in the best way or be like flourishing in that sense, just the act of putting and investing in it and protecting it means that it itself will also help us in the long run.
Mm. So it's almost like honestly assessing, are we really doing our best during this phase of life?
Mm.
And if we are doing our best and still falling short, it's okay to fall short.
Yeah.
As long as the endeavor is there.
Yeah. And in some ways, it's more about protecting the unit and our family and us.
Yeah.
As we go through this season, as opposed to we need to do it, as you were saying, in the perfect way, in the way that society or Instagram or whatever it expects it to look like.
Yeah, no, I like that. I had something similar in mind, but I always go back to the ultimate couple in Bhagavatam.
Hmm.
Can you guess?
Kardama Muni.
Yeah, I always talk about them because I just feel like their story is so cool.
Yeah, it is.
And their story is full of romance. I mean, Kardama Muni and Devahuti, they literally have the best time together in a flying house for hundreds of years, okay? It's like ultimate Valentine's Day celebrations, you know? How much they were just in stereotypical romantic connection with one another.
Mm.
And so that they had that chapter in life. And then after they have their son, Kapiladev, you know, Kardama Muni leaves and he goes to the forest. And so I was just thinking how maybe there's also a place in marriage to feel a bit more separated during certain chapters in life. I mean, I'm drawing from the story, but ironically, it's after they had a kid that this happens. Their kid is God, of course. He's an incarnation of God. So I'm not trying to compare ourselves and our marriage to them by any means. But yeah, like you were saying, there's so much pressure to just keep the marriage the same and those weekly date nights and all of that. Sometimes the pressure needs to come off. It's okay to just focus on yourself a little bit. I feel like in this season of life, I do tend to think about myself in the pockets of free time that I have before I think about the marriage. And complete honest admittance.
Sure.
I think part of me bears a little bit of guilt for that. But then I was thinking about how Devahuti, she took the time to inquire about life. And, you know, in that season of separation, it wasn't necessarily about her marriage. It was about figuring out her life. There is a place to feel very together and to feel like romantic and all of that stuff that exists. It's not like Bhakti doesn't welcome that connection. But there's also a place for some separateness. Not separateness as an excuse to not try.
Yeah.
Yeah. So given that, what do you want to do for Valentine's Day this year?
I was thinking we have been having lately some time when the kids go to sleep, and I would love to do something a little bit more meaningful during that time, something more bonding for us. One thing you had brought up is playing something together that we used to play. Like, that was a lot of fun. We used to play chess together at one point. I'd love to, like, even do a little vision boarding with you, which, like, we haven't been able to do for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Like, that might be something fun.
Yeah. I like that idea.
No. What did you have in mind?
I was also thinking about the kids and celebrating Valentine's Day for them. And I really want them to be grounded, even as they get older and they grow out of their little preschool cutesy Valentine's Day parties, that love transcends this stereotypical stuff. And love lies in how we appreciate one another and we value each other in our life. And so I really wanted to maybe use Valentine's Day as an opportunity to perhaps start a tradition that can continue to exist for the rest of our lives. You know, that it doesn't necessarily have to live in the context of a romantic relationship. Because even once they get into a romantic relationship, romance does not last, you know? So writing a message of what I love about them and putting it on their door or something. And that's something that I can continue to do forever.
Yeah.
You know, just to show them that that is an expression of love that can continue to exist even when that initial spark might go away.
That's beautiful.
And I think that maybe we can do that for each other too.
Yeah. As we're talking, I'm also connecting some dots I didn't think about before, but this idea that cultivating that love for God. But one of the ways that it becomes real is through our experience with loving other people around us.
Yeah.
And how that's so aligned to Bhakti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even just today, right? Our son found this oversized bead bag.
Yeah.
Literally oversized for even an adult, but had claimed it as his own. So he was like pretend chanting. And of course it's like, wow, my kid is chanting. I'm such a great parent. You know, there's that feeling that pops up. And then the other feeling as a second gen Hare Krishna popped up being, hold on, stop a second. Let's make sure we are grounded in this, whatever we're doing. So I was like, Kishore, why do you chant? Why are you chanting?
And I was expecting you would like stump him. Right? Like,
yeah,
you know,
well,
what to say.
He was like, because we're supposed to. And I'm like, okay, but why? And then he's like, because I want to feel Krishna's love. And I was really shocked that he said that. As I was thinking about it later this evening, I was like, how is that experience going to become real for him in life? and not just a parroting thing. Because maybe he heard it somewhere.
Yeah.
How can we as parents, as a duty for the spiritual development of our children, ensure that he actually experiences Krishna and his love? And it's not just like a statement that he's copy and pasting and repeating that he's heard from around the community. And I feel one of the primary ways that we experience God's love and Krishna's love is what you were saying, how we express love to one another. And so really using Valentine's Day to appreciate him, appreciate one another, make it about that type of expression of love in hopes that as he grows, he will feel love from his family as one way he feels God's love in his life.
That's a really cool spin to Valentine's Day, I would say. I like it.
Yeah.
Well,
what's your one takeaway from this conversation?
There's a lot of societal expectations around Valentine's Day. Rather than comparing oneself with others, compare oneself with oneself's past. In other words, how am I or we trying to get better every year? Maybe that's a more helpful way to look at this as an opportunity, you know, as a checkpoint, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
My takeaway is that it's natural for marriages to go through different seasons. I did do the research that in psychology, they have these two types of love, passionate love and what they call companionate love. So passionate love is like that initial, really intense, high feeling spark, romantic connection, but it tends to die out, kind of like a match, rather quick. And so it was hypothesized that passionate love in a long-term relationship is really high in the beginning and decreases over time, and that companionate love actually increases over time. That was the hypothesis and almost like the common consensus for some time. But there is new and emerging research that actually is showing that both passionate love and companionate love tend to decrease over time. And so the natural progression of life is that in a committed relationship, you float apart unless there is really active effort to stay together and continue to write a story together and, you know, when possible, sprinkle some romance. Valentine's Day brings the candy and chocolate flowers, all of that societal stuff. And that can really mess with your mind in a certain way. However, Valentine's Day can also just be an opportunity to add the sprinkles of romance into our marriage when naturally they die out. And also a little bit of that pressure, perhaps reframing it as positive pressure to do the work to stay together. Because if you don't, you do naturally float apart. It's both. It's okay that marriages go through seasons where you're a little bit more apart. And it's important to try to stay together in whatever ways possible.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
This was nice.
Yeah.
I'm glad we had this conversation.
Yeah.
If you're listening, hope you had a wonderful Valentine's Day. Whatever it looked like for you, please do reach out and share your reflections, your thoughts. It's our favorite part of the podcast. Yeah, with that, have a good night. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.